Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Another week, another weekend behind us. Thank you to everyone that came out to the Bray Improv this past weekend to see Brad and I in his hometown doing the Bray Improv. The shows were a blast. So many ALN fans that came out. Thank you for your support and your shirts that we signed. And Brad signed some boobs. That was cool. That's a real thing. Brad signs boobs. So that's a good job for making him feel special. happy Memorial Day, too. Holy shit. We're already here. Another Memorial Day in the books. And a great week of episodes and shows ahead. Today's episode, I cannot express how much fun it was to record. It's Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls back for a second time, dude. It's so much fun on the first podcast that he was in town for a few days and wanted to come back on and promote his EP. You Should Be Happy, which you can get on iTunes right now or GooGooDolls.com. The EP is incredible, obviously. We get into so much stuff that we didn't talk about in the last episode when Johnny and Robbie were on. Man, got into his sobriety, which he never really delves into. But, man, he really shared some incredible insights into that world and also shared some fun stories of his parting days. And then the contrast of how he is now. He's a new father. He had an amazing gig recently in Manila, which we get into, as well as his new EP and the tour they're about to embark on. And he played for us live, which apparently he never does, but he did for us because fucking we're buddies now. Johnny's the man. This episode was so much fun. And please go to GooGooDolls.com and see them on tour. They embark on that tour, I think, end of June, early July, all across the U.S. And get his EP, You Should Be Happy, on iTunes. And follow Johnny on Twitter at John Resnick, GGD. Resnick is spelled R-Z-E. Z-N-I-K and then G-G-D for Goo Goo Dolls. Follow the Goo Goo Dolls on Twitter at Goo Goo Dolls. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram. And this week, come see me live in Reno, Nevada at the Laugh Factory tomorrow through Sunday. The Reno Laugh Factory in Reno, Nevada, bringing Sandy Danto and Rachel O'Brien. Show's going to be a blast. Come out and see me. And Brad Williams this weekend will be at the San Jose Improv Friday and Saturday. Get your tickets. Oh, and Sunday. Brad will be there all weekend. Tickets at improv.com or bradwilliamscomedy.com. All my tour dates at adamraytv.com, aboutlastnightpodcast.com for all your ALN merch, hats and shirts. Get them. Support the podcast. Bring them to the shows. We'll take pictures with you. Subscribe to the podcast, give us that 5-star rating and comment on the iTunes page. Can't say how much we appreciate that support. And email us again, your ALN highlights, stories, where you listen to it, how you got into it, at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. And we might read it on the air and give you a chance to win some merch. And speaking of those emails, we've gotten so many from you guys. I'm going to read a couple right now and just give some shout-outs. Kyle C. from Columbus, Ohio, sent us a great email telling us, I listen to podcasts mostly, and the About Last Night podcast is one of the ones I look forward to each week. I work at a warehouse in Columbus, Ohio, and I'm lucky enough to have the ability to listen to headphones while at work during my 40-hour work week. And I've been having a ton of fun listening to the ALN library. While at work, it's cool to set myself on autopilot while another version of me transports into the same room as you guys just hanging out. The nice thing about the job is all I can do. I can do it all without lowering my quality of work. In fact, it probably does the opposite and helps me get more done with the great mood it puts me in. That's awesome. Your guys' taste in comedy style is right down my Kirstie alley. Nice. Your super quick wits and great riffs, hilarious impressions make it one of the best podcasts out there. Very impressive list of guests. I'm super pumped for the Sal Volcano ep. So are we, buddy. He says, a lot of the episodes I've listened to with guests that I didn't know were some of my best and most fun episodes I've heard. It's introduced me to a lot of great comedians that I didn't know before. Best podcast and best duo out there. Sincerely, Forrest Whitaker's Left Eye. Kyle from Columbus, Ohio. Dude, appreciate that message. Shoot us back with an email with your address and we'll send you some ALN merch, all right? Got another email from Anthony Fernandez, all the way from Ireland. Holy shit. So he's been listening to us since he heard Brad on Fighter and the Kid. And then he heard me and Brian Callum on Fighter and the Kid. Went back and heard Brad on the Joe Rogan Experience and then heard us with the Sklar Brothers and said he just couldn't get enough. His favorite moment that comes to mind is when we were joking about the Entourage fan base with Will Sasso, or more recently when Bert is explaining his bit about his daughter failing her own imagination. Not only hilarious, but you two laughing is so contagious. Anyway, thanks for the laugh, dudes. Sincerely, Slan. I think that's his nickname. Is that Anthony Fernandez's nickname? It might be. Thanks for the love, dude. Keep listening. So many great apps coming up. Jermaine Fowler from Superior Donuts. Sal Volcano on Thursday from Impractical Jokers. Brendan Schaub from Fighter and the Kid. Andrew Santino from I'm Dying Up Here and his new Showtime special. Piot Michael from Mad TV's coming back. So many great apps. So make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends. Tell your family. And watch the last episode of Return of the Mac on Pop TV this Wednesday. It's been a fun season. I appreciate all the love on that, and watch that Return of the Mac Pop TV 8:30 Wednesday. Now that we got the Joey Mac show info out of the way, the tour dates, the Twitter handles, the merch info, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Red Foo
is a party rock.
Yeah.
Body Rock is...
Oh, nice.
Right, he was in that LMFAO.
Yeah.
All that thing.
Unless it was LFO, the original boy band from the 90s.
Oh, shit.
Singing about... Remember them? They had one hit. They had one hit. It was...
New Kids on the Block had a bunch of hits.
Oh, yeah.
Chinese. Yeah, those guys.
Right, okay.
You should be very...
Now I know
that's
that.
About the reaction that usually comes when somebody is reminded of LFO.
Yeah. You should be happy that you don't know that song or that band.
I should be.
who are your faves? Or like if you're, I don't know, working out or on a plane or like a long ride, like you just went to Manila.
I just went to Manila.
Like, did you have like a...
I slept the whole
way. The whole way, yeah.
The whole way I slept.
Is that just take two Xanax and... Peace out?
More or less, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it's...
Well, if it's something other than Xanax, you don't have to tell us.
Yeah, no. It's Benadryl.
Fine. Yeah. Oh, okay. There you go.
Benadryl, because I don't get to do anything anymore.
Stupid sobriety.
I know, man.
You're not missing out, though.
I'm not missing anything.
You know, like, I got so high once, I literally, like... drove to a 7-Eleven and walked home. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's... So, you ain't missing out.
No.
Just a lot... I mean, the Dude, Where's My Car movie was real. That's just something that happens.
Do you... I want to get back to the music thing, but do you find that even, like, your music has gotten better from being sober?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean...
But you feel... Like,
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm at the point now with it where... You know, I'm not going to sell 10 million records, so it's kind of like, just enjoy it.
Yeah.
Just do it, and, you know, our economy is revolves around doing gigs.
And we saw you do a gig at the Greek.
Yeah, dude.
You and Collective Soul.
That was unbelievable.
We had such a good time. Thank you so much for having us out. Thank you for coming. And just... Like,
true rock stars. Like, Brad and I looked at each other. We were like, yo, we are watching, like, rock stars personified, dude.
I mean,
working the stage, like, the crowd, you make it look effortless, dude. Yeah. The crowd engagement, like.
It's getting hard.
Yeah.
Is it?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
It seems like it's the most fun ever.
You know what? It's funny. I wanted to catch up with what you guys were up to.
Yeah.
And so I tried to get on your Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, I know.
I got I got a farmer from Wisconsin.
Well, how do you know that's not him?
who died in 1865.
Well, that's not him.
That's the original Adam Ray. The original Adam Ray.
A farmer from Wisconsin. Well, maybe that's my.
I was really disappointed, and then I put your name into the IMDb thing. You're all good. You're everywhere.
There was only four of him. Yeah, I had some guy from my high school start my Wikipedia page.
Wow.
Which is very strange to get that email. Just like, hey, well, glad to see you're doing well. Start your Wikipedia page. And I'm like, oh, that's
kind of cool.
It was
or
great.
Weird.
It's great, weird. Then I like immediately went to it, and people were already adding things that weren't there. I was married like 4 years ago, according to the Wikipedia page.
Wow. Yeah.
I was not.
You married now?
I'm about to be.
Congratulations.
September 2nd.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Any marriage advice from Johnny Resnick to Brad Williams?
Don't cheat on her.
This just in. Yeah. I mean, you know what? I think the next, like, because there's always like that self-help book, like he's just not that into you or whatever the hell's going on. Like, that should be the title of one just for men. Just don't cheat on her.
Don't cheat
That's
on her.
That's pretty much it.
And most self-help books, you know, if you're the, did you guys see Freakonomics?
No.
The one guy, I forget who it was, but he basically said, if you're the kind of person who's actually going to take the time to read a book about how to raise a child, you're probably going to be a good parent.
Yeah.
Because the book's not going to help you.
Right. You're already interested you're in already it, and you care. And
it's
and
the
you
attention
want,
to
right.
detail. Yeah. And the,
so self-help books just, you know, just... What? They sort of like reaffirm the fact that you're a good, decent person.
Yeah.
Who cares? So.
Right.
But, you know, and just all that nonsense about G-spots and all that. You
know, like, don't you know, listen to that G-spot nonsense.
Because they don't exist, Brad.
Dude, please tell me G-spot nonsense will be a Goo Goo Dolls song.
Oh, my
G-spot
God.
That's going to be, no, that's going to be the name
and
of our next
I
record.
And I won't touch you there. Yeah. I don't care. It's not feeling that good.
It's not, yeah.
Something like
the
that.
The G-spot, it doesn't exist. No matter how hard you bop and twist.
I mean, you should be taking notes right now, Johnny. This is a top hit. The Greek Theater now.
Well, you guys
Staples Center next year after year. These things. After this damn
you guys
song
gotta,
comes out.
You guys got to get on stage and sing that one.
I mean,
hand it off.
There is. Does it ever get old, the amount of, because that was one thing that was really rad about the show too, is the amount of people that were singing along with every song. Like, does it ever get annoying where you're like,
no.
Hey guys, we got this.
No.
And just so you're not terrified, our buddy just walked in.
We're in Hollywood, man. It's like, oh, home invasion. Here it comes.
I didn't want you to just like to look back and be like, oh shit.
It's like $5,000 a month for this apartment and I got a home invasion.
Yeah.
Norm, you can swing the chair around if you want.
Yeah, there you go.
So how have you guys been? What have you been up to?
We've been great.
Everything.
Everywhere. Dude, life is a steady diet of stand-up podcasts. We're working on a show for ourselves.
I'm driving down Sunset. You're on a billboard.
Down the Laugh Factory, and then you come on right after I do.
Yeah.
So it's just constantly, as you know, like if it's not like, because I know in addition to Goo Goo Dolls, you've written songs for movies, and like it's always just other things going on, and that on top of all that, now I'm planning a wedding too, which is a lot of me saying, yes, you're right.
Oh my God,
you totally need to do that.
This is the only piece of advice I would ever give anybody. Okay,
all right.
It's not about marriage.
I'm listening.
Not about marriage.
Yeah,
it's about the wedding.
Okay.
She's probably going to hear this.
Yes.
Guys don't give a shit.
Well, she knows that.
They just don't care. And all women know that.
Yeah.
About anything.
But you got it. Yeah, most things.
Yeah.
Most things.
Yeah.
But
like, I mean, involved
get
with
out the of the way. I'm watching the TV.
But are we supposed to care about anything wedding wise? Do they want you to care?
Yeah, wedding wise, it just. You know you don't give a shit, but you got to start a fight with her about some bullshit like a napkin ring.
Okay.
And like, be like, are you crazy? I don't want the silver ones. No.
What did I say about using cock rings for napkin rings?
Exactly.
And I want a cock ring for napkin ring.
Okay,
All right, I'll just not do that ever again.
You find some inane detail that you don't give a shit about, and you act like it's the most important thing in the world.
Yeah, okay.
And then she thinks you care.
Like, who wants that as a centerpiece? Right. Nobody.
And then
get some other centerpiece.
Yeah.
But then
it's really that easy. Yeah. Like, men who aren't actors become the greatest actors of all time.
They do.
But there's some guys out there that maybe do care about the centerpiece or the chair arrangement, or no.
I don't know.
I haven't met one. Yeah, I haven't met one.
I'm sure there's guys that do.
Sure.
There's one. I know one guy, but we all thought that he was marrying our friend, and we were like, oh, he's gay for sure. And not because of his attention to detail.
Yeah.
Because of...
Because he liked penis.
I mean, he didn't frown at it. No, okay. He just was very. He was just a very flamboyant heterosexual man. But like,
cool.
Yeah, and yeah. Dress style. Every and like, I don't have a gaydar, but even I was like, oh yeah, no, this is. She does she know or is she gonna find out?
Surprise!
Is it gonna right. be? But like you know, and then she's like, yeah, no, and she doesn't even see it, and she's like, oh, and she's like, the sex is amazing. I'm like,
cool,
yeah, good, fucking great. People come in all shapes and sizes and ways. Literally,
there you go.
Now talking about weddings, because I read somewhere online that someone just played like some sheik's wedding that like for like $5 million.
Really?
Has that ever been a gig that the Goo Goo Dolls have accepted?
I do a lot of private shows because okay. I love them. Do you guys do stand up?
Oh, yeah.
Like at birthday parties?
Oh, it's the greatest. Cheesy,
like this.
Some are amazing.
Yeah, we have.
Some are amazing.
Yeah.
But I think they're all great for you.
They're, well, no, they're, because it depends. It's like, here's how it works. If the rich guy whose house you're doing the party at,
yeah.
if he worked for his money,
yeah.
he's always cool. His kids are always assholes.
Of course.
Because they don't understand anything.
Yeah, it's just, oh, money just appears when you're born, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, but then sometimes you're like one half a step above the girl serving the hors d'oeuvres. You know, that's kind of how they treat you.
Okay.
But most of the time they treat you really great. And you know that.
Yeah.
You know, and those gigs are great because
and you're getting paid
they're off
way.
The radar and they pay you tons of money. Fuck. And generally, they're pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, I get to look into a life I'll never have. You know, but
that is kind of cool for a night, but you get know, to enjoy. And if, yeah, they, and if I, the hosts are hospitable, you get I to enjoy to, everything.
I played a party at a guy's house. He had a 19 car garage with lifts and a marble floor. Then
Was it Iron Man?
No. He had this, like, it was like an elevator that went up to the second floor. And the loft was motorcycles, and it had an elevator that took the motorcycles up and down.
Oh,
it was insane.
And I'm sure this garage was bigger than
it
most
was bigger
homes.
Than it was like it was like 15,000 square foot garage.
Oh, does he give you a gladly you know? Give you a tour, or is he like, oh, if
yeah,
you're
yeah,
see
he
it, let
really
me know.
Cool.
Yeah.
He was really cool. He was
in fact, if I went to all that work, I would show people. I would want to show everybody.
Oh, it
right?
was crazy. His car collection was insane.
Do you see things like that and go, all right, when I do get to that level,
I'll here's never get what to that level. It's
not with that attitude,
bro.
But if you get,
all right. Okay.
But do you see some things where you know, like we all fantasize about the fuck you money toys, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like I want to, like when I get to that level, I'm gonna have a statue of Brad in my front.
Sure.
Cool.
I mean, if you want to get laid, you will.
Yeah. But a tall Brad.
How dare you?
People will see that, and then he'll open the door because I'll pay him to be my butler twice a week.
Nice.
And then they'll be like, I'm totally confused because why was tall statue out there and now he's here? What happened in between that time?
You were immortalized before it.
Yeah. Very,
but you know what I'm saying? Do you see things in some of these places where you're like, oh, that would be a cool, like, that's a cool pool table or that's a cool.
Yeah, I love stuff like that, but I don't really want it.
You don't want it?
Because, well. You know, because I mean, I made some dough.
Yeah,
and like you know, I had a Mercedes. You know, I was like, yeah, I got the cool car, and then like nothing ever makes you happy.
Yeah,
for a long time. You know what I mean? You're still if you're miserable and you get a nice car, you're happy for a little while, and then you go, geez, I just spent $80,000 on a freaking car, and I'm miserable. So you know, driving to the liquor store with one eye, driving over to Greenblatt's at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
I mean that's a good life.
One eye.
I mean, you know what? It's funny you bring that up. I don't know if you read Keith Richards' book, Life, but he talks about that where he goes, yeah, I've got more money than I know what to do with, but you want to know what makes me happy? When I'm at my place in Jamaica, which is surprisingly small, and I'm just sitting on the beach strumming my guitar.
Yeah,
he's like, that's the peak for me.
I mean, ultimately, it's like, it's so cliche, but it is about having some friends, having some family, and, you know, and like, you're going out, you're working your ass off. We're men, we're supposed to, you know, go out. You're not supposed to need anybody. You're not supposed to complain. You're not supposed to
fend for yourself.
Fend for yourself. And there's a great deal of value in that.
Totally.
You know, but really, honestly, I have this theory, you know, and I've gotten drunk with a lot of guys. And you get a guy drunk enough and he's going to spill his guts about how miserable and lonely he is.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. A lot of them. You know what?
Or maybe everyone I know.
By the way, was that
drunk.
A challenge? Are you trying to get me to fucking open up on this podcast?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's
no,
not
but,
a challenge.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's like.
You're exactly right,
that,
though.
I think that because. And it's interesting because I heard somebody use this term not too long ago. I can't remember who it was. The gig economy or the gig culture or whatever it's called. We're like we work alone a lot of times. You mm-hmm. know, we work alone. I sit in a room, you know, the size of a big closet, and I sit there 10 hours a day strumming on a guitar, no windows. You start to go crazy,
yeah.
you know, and it, you know, and you guys travel.
Sure,
and I don't know if you always travel together, or if you always have a
no. So we're headlining separately, guy. But and every now and then we'll bring people with us.
Right.
But I'd say I don't know, man. For some 75-80% of the time, it's yeah. us by ourselves.
And yeah, and just like, sitting in. And
that's that.
Choosing if you want to, you know, immerse yourself in the city and the people.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes you're like, I have to, because going right. back to the hotel room again is like,
it's crazy.
Yeah,
super sad. It could make you really nuts.
Yeah, it's weird when you look at your bank account sometimes and then you go, well, I'm staying in the same Hilton Garden Inn
oh, yeah.
that a guy who's making $30,000-$40,000 a year is yeah. staying, and you're like, what the fuck? Like I where's all the cocaine and whores? Like or I mean, that's just what
they're
I
say. Yeah.
They work at the Hilton Garden Inn.
Just gotta look, man.
They're checking you in, man.
But see, yeah. I mean,
now has, and by the way, Adam, this is a big day for Johnny. His baby daughter turned 5 months old today.
Whoa.
First hey, child,
unbelievable. Thank you.
First child,
yeah, and, dude.
Thank
so
you.
is that adding a layer to all this perspective?
Has to.
It's pretty crazy because I get overly emotional.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
when I see her, you know what I mean? Like she's a baby, and like. You know, it's like you look at her and you go, what's up, Lily? she laughs, you know? And then you pick her up and then she cries. And then it's like, she's laughing. She's crying. She just shit herself.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I do?
That's
and it's like, and
sounds like my single days.
Yeah.
Greenblatts, I'll see you in 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just she's added something to it.
What
you
is
know?
It? And what is it that you expected and what is it that you not expected?
I didn't expect to be as uncomfortable cleaning her up as I was the first couple times I had to do it.
Sure,
sure.
It was like you gotta, you know, she's a little girl. You gotta clean her.
Everything.
Boom! She explodes. It looked like she was just exploded
yeah.
in her diaper. And
yeah.
And you gotta clean it out.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And like a little boy, I mean, I have nephews who I've had to, you know, clean
yeah.
them up. And
you're
like,
used to that area.
Whatever. Right.
Yeah. I know how that
girl,
works. Yeah, that's something else.
It's like you take this is the way it was described to me. This is how you do it.
Okay.
Fold the little baby wipe up and then just like you're swiping a credit card.
That actually sounds exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds
like,
about right.
I was like, okay.
Yeah, I got all that. Right. So
and
you just
I, but
keep
I
thinking that.
I always apologize to her. Like, when I'm doing it, I'm like, so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so really, this, really what, sorry.
This, I hope this doesn't make you a stripper.
Oh, my yeah. God.
Just, don't enjoy
oh
this feeling yet.
Just that over and over again.
It's like, I'm so sorry. I'm so
yeah.
sorry.
Is the cliche, I mean, I've heard from every comedian, rock star, friend of mine that has had a kid that is just like, man, I couldn't, and just what you're saying about being super emotional, like that you just couldn't prep yourself for how overwhelmed you were with like, oh man, like everything I do now is for this
yeah.
child.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, I thought the first, I tell you what, I was, as soon as we brought that little girl home, I was like, you got to do two things because I'm old. Got to hit the gym
mm-hmm.
constantly, and you got to start working a hell of a lot more. Because
wow,
because you want to be around.
Well, I want to be around, and I want to have enough
fit.
Money to be around.
Yeah, that's
you know?
True.
And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, I was doing a gig. I did a gig at this some crazy amusement park, and they set us up in this park, and they put us on this stage, and this is a giant roller coaster. One of those things goes straight up and straight down. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm playing, singing. There's like 7,000-8,000 people there watching us, and I'm looking at this thing going, I'm going to be 60 years old when my little daughter wants to go on this. And they're going to tell her, you got to leave grandpa down here on the ground because he's just going to, he's going to have a heart attack
yeah.
on that thing. Like, so I've been trying to work out a lot. And like, you know, I just want to be.
I was going to say, you're looking like you're in better
it,
shape
you know?
Than we are. So,
well,
I mean, like,
no, I mean,
you're fine.
I don't know about that, but you know.
You're right. I do six push-ups a year and it shows. So I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, but you're a handsome motherfucker. You don't need to do that shit. You got, like, you got women could probably just. I mean, come on, man. You got the court with the pool, with the courtyard. All you need is like Ron Jeremy and a pair of long shorts.
Wait, and like, that's going to get women to come
no,
in?
Right. No.
Jeremy's there. They're going to leave. Yeah.
No, they'll leave. Yeah. There'll be more for you.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
Bring them in, have them see you're on, and then keep my door open.
It's like, it's like, you know.
So now already with I have a buddy who also has a child of 5 months, and his wife is already like, he told me this the other day, she was like, so we have all these baby clothes, like what should we do with them? And he was like, oh, just throw them away. And she goes, throw them away, but like, and he was like, you just had one, like what do you,
want? She wants another one.
I mean, is that already
a little bit you know, it took a lot for us to for us to have a baby. It was unbelievable, like the process that you go through when you do IVF, you know?
In vitero. Yeah.
Is so humiliating.
I mean...
Because you go to a doctor's office in Beverly Hills, right?
Yeah.
And very attractive young nurse escorts you to... Gives you a little, like a Gerber baby food jar and escorts you into
Please tell me they take off the
room.
Baby food wrapper of the baby's face.
No, it's not a baby food jar.
Okay, good.
It's that would not be good inspiration.
It's about the size and shape of a baby food jar. And then she walks you into this room, and then she and just really just coldly says, when you're done, just put it in that bag over there and let me know.
Jesus. So this is my future child you're talking about.
So you close the door, and they have, like, I don't know where they got it, but it's like an Apple TV full of fucking porn. And
you're like, then, can I take this with me when I leave?
If you want to go old school, there's a drawer full of porno mags.
No way!
Wow.
I swear to God.
Still with the mags.
I swear to God.
Now, they don't say anything
and
super...
And I sort of thought about it. I'm like, maybe I'll do it analog. For more, you know?
It's time to throw it back.
Yeah, it'll be like a throwback Thursday here.
Name my daughter Myrtle at that point. Why not?
But that's
gotta be weird when you think about it. And I think Adam Carolla said something about this because he also did the in vitro thing where it's like every kids that are born the quote unquote natural way, like they have the story like, oh, I was making love to your mother, we had eye contact, there was candles, and there's Goo Goo Dolls Iris was playing, and so it set the mood. Like when your daughter goes up and says, oh, so how was I made, it's like, well, dad watched
I know, but the names of the videos were like shocking. It was like ass fucked on the stairs. Really, truly,
they
this
don't
is,
even try to get creative.
No, tell you what happens.
So it's not like Babe Watch or some weird parody thing.
It's just like it's nothing erotic about it whatsoever.
No Jurassic Cock or Saving Ryan's Privates.
Yeah, none of that. That's so awesome. Just
soap for dirty girls.
Yeah, it's just an uncle touched me, so I'm here. That's it.
By the way, ass fucked on the stairs. Like that's probably not a like that was. Real.
No, that was real. That was real. I it was, and I'm just like.
Do they ask you when you walk out? So what'd you pick?
Well, the thing was, I got really self conscious. I got really self conscious because I didn't want to. I didn't. Cause the nurse was kind of attractive.
Yeah.
And I'm a guy, and I love my wife. Yeah. I'm never going to cheat on her. But I was like, okay, I got to make this last long enough.
Dude, I fucking love you, dude. That is such a great dude. You're like,
but I don't want to be in and out in 10
seconds.
Right.
Yeah,
but I don't want to be in here too long.
Right. There's like that golden time because you're in there for 22 minutes.
Yeah, she's going to be like, what a fucking perv.
Yeah. Like, now he's just enjoying it.
Or the old man can't get it up.
You also don't want to like fill up the jar and come out and be like, you got another one?
Yeah.
You know, like, because then she's like, Jesus, you fucking cum whale. You know, how much you got stored up? I said one kid. So
it was humiliating. And then oh my God. Yeah. And then you know, you have to aim it into a jar,
into
this little cup.
Right. And not normal.
Well, yeah. And it,
it's not
dude, that is
it's not it's
how,
bad.
Now how much prep do you even go into this whole, like, do you have any friends that have done it that give you like a heads up, or are you just going blind being like
I didn't know anybody that had done it. And you know, and I knew that at some point in time, you know, I was going to have to do that.
Yeah.
But at a doctor's office. And the place, it's just room after room after room of just men sitting in these little buddy booths jerking off.
I mean, I hope the walls are full. You're not like high fiving the guy next to you, like, "Hey, beat my new record." Slap.
You're not checking. There's no guy on there. Like, "Hey, does anybody have Ass Fucked on the Stairs 2? Because I've got the first one, and I'm looking. The sequel's way better."
Yeah, this is a huge knocker 7. I haven't seen 1 through 6. I don't know the plot. I don't know where this is going.
But the ultimate result was really, really. Sure. Awesome.
Dude, that's...
Abby, she was born 3 days before Christmas. It was really cool.
Oh, man.
You know?
Best holiday ever, huh?
Yeah, it was really cool. We spent it at Cedars. It was really nice. It was really nice.
Dude, that's really... yeah. I'm really pumped for you.
Yeah, me
now,
too.
Now, going to Manila, was that first big trip that was, like, away from her for a significant amount of time?
Yeah, but we Skyped the whole time.
Isn't that a game saver?
You don't, totally.
Because, back in the day, like, it was just, okay, you're going on tour, and I'll see you when I get back.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get a letter from a place that I was in.
Yeah.
Like, and by the time it gets there, I might be home.
Yeah.
Like, but now it's just that instant
thing. It's great. And I keep saying things like, you know, I think I'm going to mail Lily a postcard from every town I go to because I'm going to be good. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, hey, it's a thought that counts.
I know, but you know, I have lots of good, really great thoughts.
Has she already inspired music?
No. She's not. I mean, yes, but it's what I would sing to her to get her to go to sleep or make her.
Oh, you do that?
Of course.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, I have a really loud voice.
Yeah.
Because I'm a singer.
Yeah.
I
know how to sing and I sing loud.
Yeah.
I scared the shit out of her the first time I sang because I didn't get it. Because my wife sings to her in Spanish all the time.
Whoa.
Oh,
cool.
You know, her and her mom speak a lot of Spanish around the house. And I'm like, what do I know? You know, I don't know nothing.
I know, row, row, row your boat.
You know, yeah.
You know, and they sing these beautiful songs in Spanish.
I mean, it's amazing.
Like, and I'm like, ugh. So I just make shit up and sing to her, and she's just as happy with that.
Yeah,
there you go.
How was Manila? Was it
Manila? Oh, Manila was awesome.
This is for a gig, yeah.
We played in the arena where they fought the Thriller in Manila.
Oh no shit!
It was a shit.
Ollie Foreman. Ollie Foreman. Yeah,
it was amazing. My dressing room caught fire.
What?
This is the truth.
Okay.
My dressing room caught fire. There was a can of hairspray in there. It exploded and like went like a torpedo and like punched a hole in a road case. And then
was Warrant there the night before? Is that so much hairspray?
It burned every pair of pants I had except the ones that were on my ass.
No shit.
Yeah. Everything. It was unbelievable. And the weird, they put the fire out, and the weird thing was not one fire alarm went off in the whole place. You know, and that's when you realize, holy shit, I'm in a third world country.
Yeah.
And then the day after that, Carell, our keyboard player, his appendix went bananas on an airplane to Bangkok.
Oh, you don't want that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was better in Bangkok than in the Philippines. The Philippines is really
sketchy.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Dodgy.
Yeah.
But when he got to Bangkok, he actually went to a nice hospital. They gave him a brand new vagina. He's a perfect lady.
Fantastic.
He's a perfect lady boy.
Yeah.
He's just
fits in well with the culture over there.
You know,
he made $5,000 before the gig even started. It was amazing. Like, how do you have all this money? He's like, well, there's a lot of people in this hospital.
How was the crowd though? Good?
Amazing.
Yeah.
It was really fun, and we'd never been there. And then what's interesting is the promoters of the shows there are such criminals that nobody believes you're there. So when you get off the airplane, they rush you into a room, mm-hmm. and there's all these like reporters and TV cameras, and they interview you immediately. And then you have to go on TV the next day to prove that you're there.
Oh.
And then they buy all the tickets.
Oh my God.
So you're flying so I guess when they see posters saying the Goo Goo Dolls are coming,
Everybody's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, they're like, no, you're just putting that on a poster.
They would never come here to get a free vagina.
Still got that bad appendix.
Yeah. But that's
insane.
When someone comes to you and says, hey, do you want to do a gig in Manila, is your initial thought like fuck yes? Or okay, so you weren't.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there wasn't any hesitations or anything like that. Just let's just go.
I was like, I just hope somebody shows up. And then and they were great shows. They were big shows. They were as big as the shows we do here.
You guys have amazing. Done overseas a bunch though, right?
Not enough. No, yeah. No. We never really broke. Excuse me. Obviously, Iris was a hit in Europe, and we just never went back because we had this mentality of, well, we're making all this money and we're playing these huge shows in the States,
yeah,
and Japan, and
So let's just do that.
Yeah, let's make the money now because, you know, this is going to last 18 months and we're out.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, and then...
it's so crazy that you guys actually thought that. But I guess that's... I mean,
We thought it was prudent. You know what I mean? It's like... I know a guy... Well, let me think about this. Wait. Who's this dude that I was talking to?
Well, because like...
I can't remember what he does. Well, anyway.
Because like, I read a story that you... Like, right before Iris broke, you were kind of like, well, it's been a great run.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
yeah. Well, because I was about to turn 30.
Yeah,
and I was like, I was married, and I was like 28, and I'm like, if I'm not making a living at this when I'm 30, I gotta stop.
Yeah,
because it's like you gotta grow up at some point, you know. And I didn't want to, but
sure, you just reality kind of sunk in. Yeah, and you're like, okay, I got it. I mean, yeah, there's been a million comics that by age 35, 30, you know, they're just like, well.
Yeah,
I got it. You know, yeah, you're right. I have to grow up at some point. But then,
you
know,
when you see guys who are like these massive headliners, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they vanish. It's really
yeah.
Like I nothing against the guy at all, but I don't see that much from like Dane Cook anymore. And he was so huge. I was like, what happened?
Yeah,
did he just like make so much fuck you money that he just bought an island and said fuck you?
We're both chums with him, and he's been great to us and great dude,
and
like,
he's on that new show American Gods on Stars, you know, so.
And he still does tours maybe twice a year.
Wow,
and still
that's awesome.
Still so funny, and I think
he was just super
got as
funny.
Big as you could possibly get, you know, as far as arenas,
stadiums,
and SNL and movies. And then it's just like maintaining that, which is why it's so incredible that like someone like Sandler or Jim Carrey was able to do it for so long, like to have movies and stand up and to crush that world simultaneously. And so, you know, I think, you know, you could argue a couple maybe of the movies were maybe wrong choices or didn't get received well, and then a lot.
I'm not asking you to talk shit about one of your bros.
Oh, I'm not.
You know, but I know I'm saying comedians. I'm saying, so just like musicians, y'all fucking hate each other.
No. There's a real
It's a I love you, just don't take any gigs away from me.
Right. Exactly. That, I know.
This is just
I hear that.
I take not what I've heard, but what he said also to us. You know, and like. There was a chunk of time where he got so much hate from people that just were hating on his comedy, and then other people, and then he went through some family stuff, and like I think that, you know, shook him up a little bit and made him step back from everything.
See,
and so I don't know how that affects like a musician if you go through.
You know what happened? Well, you got your band to lean on.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like he just got his friends and his family to lean on. That's it. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, we had 10 other people in the trenches with us.
Sure, we're going through the same thing, and if one person's getting down and maybe having doubts, then you got the other 9 to be like, we got to keep going. We have something here.
Keep rowing the fucking boat.
And is that what happened to you right before Iris broke?
Yeah, you know, Robbie won't ever let me quit. You know what I mean? He won't let me quit. I mean, I think you know, I mean, I think the closest we ever got to like really ending this was like, you know, like 2.5 years ago. Like I was, because I was, you know,
different
same old
time.
Shit. It's so fucking cliche, but I was so fucked up.
Yeah,
you know, and it was like I just blacking out and being an asshole and not returning phone calls and hiding out and just doing stupid shit.
Yeah,
but you know what? Getting back to the original point was. We were like these underground guys, you know, in the band, you know, playing colleges. We were up our own ass. It was really cool. And then a guy started playing one of our songs on the radio, and it became this huge hit. And then everyone gave a shit after that.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I mean, not like that, but kind of like that, right?
Like that quick. Fuck you guys. You fucking sold out. It's like, wow, man. This is our fifth record. You
know, yeah,
it took us 5 records to get this, and like, you're gonna give me shit for it? I've been working my ass off, and like, I mean, you know, and we really had to adopt this attitude of like, okay, we're gonna circle the wagons and fucking like fight this shit until we win. You
great Buffalo reference right there.
Very Buffalo.
Circle the wagons.
Circle the wagons. And drink. Keep drinking. Just circle the wagons so they don't get the beer. That's very Buffalo.
I do feel like you're such a fun hang without booze that it does make me a little envious that I didn't get to have a Johnny Resnick party night.
You definitely would have saw my dick.
All right, well, hey, you know what? Some people have go-to drunk moves. Some people, it starts singing Journey. Some people, it's whip your dick out. You know, that happens.
It definitely would have been like, come on, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Everyone lies.
And then what sort, like that second time 2 years ago, what sort of brought it back to now we're going to keep this thing going?
I went away and got some help. Yeah. I went fishing, quotes, you know, on a fishing trip for a few months, and really kind of got down to the core of it, and you know.
Well, thank God. Thank
you. Me, man, I feel so much better.
Good.
Like when I think about that.
Do you think back like now?
I miss it sometimes. I miss it, obviously.
Sure.
I miss
it. Good times. Because guess what? With some of the bad, I'm sure there were a lot of good.
Oh, my God. More good than bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. More good than bad. Yeah. But like, there's no going back to the good.
No.
Once it hits bad, there's no going back to the good.
Yeah, it's...
You know, and you guys, come on. Like in your world, the drugs and the depression and the booze and the craziness is just...
Well, I mean,
out of control.
I mean, we see it a lot. I mean, unfortunately, we just saw it with Chris Cornell, where there was a guy who seemed to have
everything.
And that night, I mean, they have videos of him on stage that night, mm-hmm. be like, "Oh wow, this show we're doing tomorrow, they got to be as good as you guys are." And that, and he seems happy, and then just something happens, something clicks. I don't know. And then just like Did you see that sort of thing happen with friends of yours, or maybe even yourself, where you came close to that?
I mean, I had mm-hmm. three friends who died because of their drug, alcohol problems, and you know, it's when you're down in it, you're just like, better them than me, and you keep going. And it's like, whoa, that is so sick.
Yeah,
that is so sick, you know? And I'm not a big AA guy either. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I believe in it. No, yeah. I got good, and I believe in it. And I'll go to a meeting once in a while.
Yeah.
But for me, it was more like what I learned. And I read a lot of mm-hmm. that material because I really believe it helped me a lot. And I believe it continues to help me. But I'm not a big, like, big book thumper, go to 7 meetings a week like a lot of guys. I mean,
and for some people, that's what they have to do.
Yeah, everybody's got their own path,
and if that's what works for them,
yeah,
great. But I mean, I'm glad, and I'm sure all your fans are glad that you found what worked for you.
I don't think I've ever gotten into it this deep, but mm-hmm. but you know, but or this bluntly.
Well, we hate to Dr. Phil you know? but I really want to know, Johnny. Now, when you would get drunk, that you would drive through a Carl's Jr. on a scooter, okay, reach your hand through, grab some cash from the register, okay, make them give you food.
Wow. No, but I would get in my nice car and put one hand over one
just
eye.
Just as a goof.
And drive around the corner, around the block. I had my route, and then down to Laurel.
Yeah.
Down to Laurel and make that left on off that side street to get to Greenblatt's to get more booze.
Wow!
Yeah, out of my mind. I don't know. Can you be arrested for drunk driving? Like,
nah. I mean, not if you're
2 years after
fun
you did
about it.
Yeah. I mean, no. You're good.
No. Okay.
Statute of limitations.
But when I think about how irresponsible, how stupid, how I could have fucked someone's
it all
life
up.
My life. Fucked someone else's life up.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You know, and it's scary when you go to a lot of AA meetings. There's the one guy that gets up there that was like, "Yeah, I was in jail because I killed somebody." You're like, whoa,
yeah,
man.
That's real shit.
That's a consequence.
That's pretty real. But consequences mean nothing to a real drunk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, like we were saying earlier, like the high of everyone singing your songs back to you. I can't even imagine. Like we get cheers after jokes and after shows, but like there's no moment of people reciting your jokes back to you. That would just be straight up fucking annoying.
No, but you know everybody the next day is telling their friends those jokes at work.
Yeah,
and you know what?
And butchering
they're not
them.
Funny. Yeah. They're really not funny.
And you know, it's weird, but that always that gives me anxiety.
I know,
knowing that someone's gonna go to work the next day, like, well, like me, dude. I just saw this Brad Williams guy. He's hilarious. Here's one of the jokes he said. He said, like, all right. So he says, like, right. I'm a midget, right? And like, that's weird.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And then pause and forget a chunk of it. Yeah. So that they screw up the timing.
Oh no, wait, no, wait. You gotta go back.
Wait, no.
But people don't understand that because you make it look easy. You know, you make it look easy. That's the art of it that a lot of people don't understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, first of all, I like to the talking because there as Adam just found out because he recently saw Celine Dion in concert. That's another story. But
we were in Vegas for a comedy festival.
Yeah.
And I jokingly had always wanted to see her, and then it became a reality where I was like, dude, my I love great shows, you know what I'm saying? And I've seen a lot of Cirque shows. Mm-hmm. And one of my friends had seen her like 4 times, and she was like, yo, straight up, like, it's an amazing show. And sure. I was like, hey man, I, you know, who doesn't want to see one of the top vocalists of all time, like, live, right, and see what that's like?
Let's see what it's like. And you can't, there's no denying her talent.
Sure. Yeah,
but I think, like, she's doing better since the old pimp French guy died.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, yeah. I will say this, she does a lot of like, look, they all say comedians want to be rock stars want to be comedians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, like, I never knew that also applied to Celine Dion.
No, you, where I she's saw doing a lot of stand up. She was telling jokes during,
yeah,
her
I posted
show
on Instagram. Yeah. Yeah. At one point, she's doing all these, like, every
is it
moment.
Peanut butter joke or
yeah, what she did a
it?
Celine Dion.
Because oh,
because her dress was yellow.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm look, Celine Dion.
Someone's writing that shit.
You know,
someone's getting paid a lot.
I think
of
someone
money
wrote that. I just love the idea that she maybe goes backstage and has a team of writers, and yeah, she doesn't even think about the show. She's just like, that mustard joke crushed. You know, she's like, Byron, more mustard, more condiment, you know, yeah, jokes, yeah, please,
please.
Do you have any ketchup puns before Power of Love? You know, but. But it was unreal. But Brad, you're what,
yeah,
you bringing
that up? Yeah, because I was saying, like, when we saw you guys, you were great on the mic, and you,
yes,
and you fired up the crowd. You didn't get
a great balance.
You didn't try to, like, be someone you're not, no, or going in, no, some political rant or anything like that. Yeah.
You, but also, you guys are naturally funny, and that, like, helps that you, yeah, like, recognize when to bring,
well,
that out. You know?
Yeah, but you that's it's really funny that you said that because while I was driving over here, I was like, I get nervous doing these things, and I'm,
oh,
like,
man.
And I do, but mm-hmm, I was like, don't try to be funny, they're pros.
Oh,
like, like, seriously, I was like, don't try to be funny, they're pros.
Oh.
It's like, it's gotta be, you guys, it's gotta be painful when people, like, try to hang out with the comedians. I'm,
yeah,
funny.
Yeah.
You know,
it's, yeah, but it's such an obvious, like, there's such a difference between people who try and people who are just like, a good hang, good conversationalist, and you, like, recognize, like, even, that's why, you know, the first time you guys came on to promote Boxes and be on, it was such a great ep because we laughed so much because it was just like, you guys recognize
we
when
hanging
to pop in, totally.
Yeah, we were just hanging. It
I think
good
if, but I mean, shit, I understand that because there are people who get in their head and then they try to make jokes.
Yeah.
They're just not good at reading the room.
It's not, yeah.
People that don't, are on, that's one of the benefits, I think, of being a performer is, like, you get conditioned reading the room on stage and off.
Yeah. I mean, there's nights I don't say anything.
Oh, really?
Just because of the kinda,
thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, this song is called Bloom. I just, because I'm reading the crowd. And, like, when we first started, because we were playing to predominantly young male audiences, the hardcore punk,
yeah,
kind of alternative slash, sure, whatever. Basically, we were playing these sweaty little bars with a bunch of guys with their shirts off, like, trying to beat each other senseless.
Jesus.
So,
but they loved your music.
They loved it. I don't know what was going on, but what was the point of what we were talking about? What were we talking about?
Well, just
was that a brain fart?
No, people reading the room.
And talking, oh, reading,
yeah,
the room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I mean, we got bottles thrown at us and, like,
oh, no,
you
shit
know, just all the time. All the time. Guys standing there, fuck you, skinheads, like, Nazi skinheads showing up. And, like, they're never any fun. And they'd always give you, like, the Heil Hitler sign.
Oh,
and the
sweet
one time,
Lord.
I thought I was being funny. This is what it was, like, at the end of the 80s, the early 90s. This is what, like, the punk rock scene was like.
Oh, jeez.
And these guys are doing the Heil Hitler symbol at you.
Oh, my
trying
God.
Trying to intimidate you.
Yeah.
And me being a wise ass from Buffalo, I go, we're going to have question and answer period after the show.
Yes.
And
yes.
And
brilliant.
Then the guy literally gets on stage and just, like, knocks Robbie right on his ass.
No,
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, it was very dangerous back
then. Wow. Yo, see, but that's a hilarious
response. And
that's response
when I was like, I know, but it was just like, it, yeah, was terrifying. I was terrified.
Yeah.
But your guy from Buffalo who, like, you can't be a pussy if you're from Buffalo. And I'm a pussy. I'm such a pussy.
But that's, I mean, that's how a lot of comedians become comedians, is it becomes a defense mechanism. Yeah. It's like, oh, that guy wants to beat me up. Okay, yeah. Here's a quick joke, and then they'll make him laugh so he doesn't kick my ass.
I watched some videos on YouTube of different comedians, mm-hmm. like tuning up hecklers.
Oh, yeah.
And oh my man, what a skill. What a skill. You guys, do you work on your chops to like really just fuck someone up if they start shit?
I mean, me personally, there's a couple insults that are kind of chambered, like, yeah. ready to go.
There's always a couple.
Yeah, I mean,
chamber.
Yeah,
I think I do a lot more, I think, crowd work than Brad does.
Yeah.
And I think, but he's also very good at it.
You got
it. But it's
a
like
serious set.
It's
of
one of those things,
man.
Totally, where I've handled so many bad situations
because you're dealing with drunk dudes.
Oh yeah,
and the stage is 2 feet high,
and an audience. And as soon as you engage, the audience goes, "Oh, cool.
This is something we can do now.
He's going to handle this."
Yeah,
and they trust you. And as soon as you lose control, oh, it's over, man.
Yeah,
like abort set. Like try to get through, but they're not paying attention. So because they trust that you got that mic and this is your time. So and I a lot of times not handling it well to where. Now, I mean, I feel like there's nothing I can't handle. And I did the wheel turn with my buddy Adam Devine.
Nice.
And about 20 minutes in of my 30-minute set, girl's just hammered. And look, sometimes people are so drunk, they don't even know what's going on.
Right.
So now you're like trying to maneuver through complete incoherent brain waves.
Yeah, you can't use logic against
so
people.
Now she's not even going to listen and respond. But she said something. I think I was doing a joke about country music, whatever, and making it tough for fellas because there's so much toot or whatever it was. And she just said something about Shania Twain, and then she goes, "I love Shania Twain." I go, "Great. I used to play the clarinet. Welcome back to Who Gives a Shit. Right. Nobody fucking asked you. You know? What are you yelling for? We don't need your Wikipedia page."
Nice.
And then she goes, and then she said something else, and that got a laugh, and then I was like, and a lot of times I'll try to say something and use it to go back into my material and just play off it, because it is on you to how much time you spend on it. And then she said something else, and then it got weird, and I felt the fucking packed wilter and start to get like uneasy, being like, "Dude, you got this," is what you kind of feel.
Right.
And then I just go, "Sweetheart," I go, "pretty sure the poster said Adam Devine featuring Adam Ray, not Adam Devine plus drunk cunt in the third row."
Oh!
And dude, the whole place went bonkers. And I had that like in the barrel for like a rainy day, but it was like, it got so weird, and she started to pull the control away because she was, because people started yelling at her. And then I was like, "Dude, I need to handle it." And then after that, place went nuts. They kicked her out, and I got to finish my set.
See, that's,
but doesn't
that's,
always go like that.
Doesn't always go. I mean, have you ever, somebody ever gotten the best of you? No way. No way.
I mean, early on, because
I wouldn't say the best, but just like maybe my response wasn't that great.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, or maybe it didn't kill the same way I wanted it to. But the fact that you have the microphone, and as long as you don't show fear, then it's fine. If you act like your joke was the greatest insult of all time,
mm-hmm.
and if the audience likes you, they'll pick up. Like, I'm jealous of rock stars because. If you're doing something in the middle and some guys are starting to yell out, like, you can just go like,
"Oh, you just
all
turn
right,
it up.
All right, here's slide, boom," and then just go into a song. Like, we can't necessarily do that.
You guys are naked.
Do you guys ever have
scary?
Do you guys ever have like signals? Because like sometimes the security at a comic will be like, "Hey, like if you need somebody kicked out or whatever, some sort of wink or."
Yeah.
I guess you just trust the venue's security is on.
Yeah,
top of
you
that.
Know, I mean, there's generally a barricade, you know, there. And I mean, there's our audiences. I mean, you know, we're
they're good audiences.
We're not drawing 23-year-old kids anymore.
We saw some young ones.
Some young ones, but not as much. You know, people got a bit more civilized at our shows. I mean, and face it, who's going to come to see us that doesn't want to be there and just wants to be an asshole?
Yeah, I haven't heard too many, "I took ecstasy and went to the Goo Goo Dolls concert." Like, I haven't heard that since too much.
No,
but it's probably happening.
Well, I hope so. I ain't doing this.
Now, we talk about hecklers, but have you had been your fans or like when we had you guys on, your fans came out of the woodwork and started listening to the podcast?
Yeah,
that was awesome.
And tweeting at us and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you had like crazy fan experiences?
Yes.
People like in your dressing rooms when you go backstage? Or?
Just recently, a person has decided to that I have stolen all of their songs.
Oh boy.
From them and put out my last record with them. I stole their songs and put them out as my album.
Huh.
And this person's followed me home.
No shit.
More than once.
Just, oh my God!
Well, in my defense, you gave me your address, and I thought it was cool. I thought we had a rapport.
You know, it was just very weird. And
that's
then,
insane.
And then I was doing a show, like in San Diego, and somehow this person got up on stage with us
because
I don't roll with my own like security guy
right.
anymore. Like,
because yeah.
I thought, oh, you're over that. You don't.
They're
need
expensive.
That They're expensive, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting in any trouble.
Right.
So. Somehow they got backstage and were walking right in the dressing room, and I was just like, and got in my face,
and
I was like, I just put my arms up, and I was like, I didn't touch nobody,
yep.
Yeah.
I didn't touch nobody, get him the fuck out of here,
yeah,
and they got him out of there.
Wow,
so it was very weird, but I mean, you know, but on the other hand, I start to feel sorry for them because I'm like, this person's really fucking crazy,
yeah, dude,
right.
Like real crazy. Not like, I got four older sisters and I thought they were fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know where to hit a girl with. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to get in trouble. And like,
sisters. He's talking about his sisters.
My
sisters.
Yeah.
Growing up. Okay. This isn't like 2 weeks ago.
Hitting your sister is not like hitting a girl.
It's not.
And I haven't hit my sister in like 40 years. Yeah. So it's like.
My sister threw a high heel shoe at my back once and I like bitch slapped her so hard and then she fucking kicked me in the dick and we both rolled down the stairs like Looney Tunes. It was a great fight.
And that's what you grow up
yeah,
with.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, so people. Save your tweets.
Worst, please, God. Please, it's me, not them.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
But I was really afraid that there was another person who before I moved here, we were staying at that London hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl showed up and she was sitting in the lobby and we were sort of new to being successful. And mm-hmm. the girl said, "Hey, Johnny." So I was like, "Yeah, cool, a hot girl. She probably wants my autograph." And then she started screaming at me. Screaming at me about how Eddie Vedder and I had dosed her with LSD and we were communicating to her through the television. And I was like, I know how to handle this. I got four older sisters who are crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, shut up. Blah, 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 blah. And then she came back at me and I was like,
that usually works.
Oh my God.
Didn't expect follow-up
crazy. It was real crazy. She started digging around in her bag and I'm like, oh my God, she's going to shoot me.
Yeah, that's where it
ends. And I jumped over the front desk at the hotel with God as my witness. Crawling. Somebody call the cops.
Oh my God.
She's crazy.
But then at the same time, you don't know what she's reaching in for. You don't know if it's a pen. You don't know if it's a gun, knife, whatever.
Well, it was crazy because when everything got cleared up with the cops and everything, we were coming out. We had this bus driver at the time called Wild Bill. He talked like Wild Bill.
Yeah, exactly.
And she had spray painted it on the bus. I'm gonna fucking kill you.
Oh, right?
Nice. Nice. Happy Holidays would have been also a good choice.
And he was out there with a rag and a can of lighter fluid going, damn, Johnny, someone don't like you.
Thanks for making me feel better about it. Wow.
So I guess when you roll into the radio station the next day, you're like, no, I'm going to fucking kill you is the new song.
Yeah, it's a new single. Yeah.
Speaking of new song, you guys just released a new song.
We did.
New EP. Well,
new EP.
Yeah. Use Me, right?
Use Me is
Well, You
the
Should
song.
Be Happy is the name of the EP.
Yeah.
And Use Me as a single off it.
It is,
and it's a fucking another classic, dude.
It's good.
It's really good.
I like it. I've been hanging out with this guy Drew Pearson. He's like, me and him get along really well. You know, it's mm-hmm. fun to hang out. Like we hang out and joke around, and then come out of the room with a song. You know,
no shit.
Yeah, and that's I'm sure that is forget the pun, but instrumental to the creative process. Like just being comfortable and having whether it be a producer or the session musicians or just your band, just being comfortable in that situation.
Yeah,
what's the process with an EP? Because the album, this is what, less than a year ago.
Yeah, about a year ago. Yeah.
So I
got sick of waiting around, you know. I didn't want to wait because like the way the world works now, and I was thinking about this, I was like, how do these people, like these pop stars, how do they put records out constantly? Mm-hmm. And it's like when you write your own songs, it's you're at a decided disadvantage because it takes time.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, and you got to go down and you got to write and you can't, and these people are on tour all the time and they have a song on the radio all the time.
Yeah.
And because their cycle never ends, because they have people all over the world writing material for them.
Right.
And they're picking it.
Yeah.
And I tried being one of those writers mm-hmm. for these people, and I can't do it. I don't know if you guys write for other people.
No.
Here and there. I mean, but not like hard, full on. I mean, more like just ideas and like, you know, premises voice. And
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's, yeah, it's stuff to get inside somebody else's.
So, like, you'll prime someone's pump.
Yeah, I mean, like,
so
when,
to speak.
Man, when Dana Carvey, who, you know, is a buddy of ours and comes on a bunch before his special, he, you know, we were riffing about a bunch of ideas, and then he right. was just asking us, like, oh, if you guys have some tags for these, or mm-hmm. if you have some other premises that you know that I could, you know, really go down a hole on, and so, stuff like that. But
good collaboration is amazing, though, because I like it, because I do what I do, mm-hmm. right? And there's obviously a limit to
yeah.
to what my capacity is. And then some guy comes along and just, boom, just out of nowhere hits you with something. I'm like, I never would have thought of that in a yeah. million years. And then, wow, this new thing comes out of it.
Is that kind of what happened with the yeah. You Should Be Happy?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things that's like the sound of the band is still evolving because I'm still evolving.
Yeah,
you know what
sure.
I mean? And it's like, I don't want to rely on what I did 20 years ago, even though it mostly pays the bills. But, but you know... And people still kind of want to hear the songs. I mean, you know, not as many as used to, but I mean, who cares?
The whole EP is fucking great. And
it's pretty cool.
Use Me. How do you decide on that as the single?
I didn't. Okay. I didn't. I let somebody else do that.
Do you get what are the feelings of playing a new song like live and just after like finishing it and knowing that people are enjoying it and you're like, oh, I loved it as much as they're loving it.
I'm always happy when people.
Respond,
you know, respond yeah. to it, mm-hmm. you know, because like playing a new song is like telling a new joke, right?
Yeah. Yep,
yeah.
I mean,
and for sure,
it never gets like, old for us when we write a new joke and it works. We're just like, oh god,
yeah.
like
it can make the whole show
get that rush again.
I yeah. mean, right?
Right. Oh my god, yeah, it's amazing. Or you know, or you can, or like being doing this for 25 years, 30 years, being able to read a room and mm-hmm. you can feel the dip, or you start seeing the backs of people's heads going to the toilet or
yeah.
getting a beer when you're doing it, and yeah. it's like, okay, let's hurry this one up.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta, whenever I play a new song, hit them with a big hit right afterward,
right,
and do it quick.
Yeah, and
you know,
thankfully you guys have so many hits that you can do that.
It's
not a band where you just go like, well, we got our two
yeah.
things that we just do at the end, or like when we open with a hit, we close with a hit, and then everything else is, you know, it's like yeah. you guys have that option.
Have you ever been mid new song and seen the eyes start to roll and just change the lyrics to "Wait, don't go get a beer, black balloons coming up, and
probably,
here is gone."
Yeah. Probably. Hits are coming. The hits are coming. The hits are coming.
Hey, guy
Stay
in the
tuned.
Blue shirt, please sit back down.
I always fuck with guys in the audience.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you're doing that at the Greek
I
a little
fuck
bit.
With guys because it's like they don't want to be there. They really don't want to be there.
How you know? Dare? How dare they? First of
well,
all,
they should have
I mean,
been.
Okay.
They should have been looking at Brad and I because we were
yeah.
fucking up
I mean,
on our seats.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
I just, I mean, I as we, and once again, it's like as you get older, more guys sort of are at the shows, and
yeah.
more mm-hmm. guys kind of admit. Like I'll be in the gym, you know, and like guys will be like, "Hey, you guys are good. You guys are good."
Nice. Yeah,
you know, and it's like, yeah. thanks,
when,
man. Thanks.
When I was out front,
we're no longer a threat.
Yeah. When out, and
so funny.
I want you to know this. When I was out front waiting for you to arrive, one of our comedian friends, J. Chris Newberg, was mm-hmm. jogging by, said hi, said, "Yeah, I'm out here waiting for John Resnick at the Goo Goo Dolls." He goes, "Oh my god, I love that dude."
See?
And he's
a big musician. I mean,
yeah, like, he's a big musician guy.
That's what happens when you get old. Dudes are just like, you know.
So you can't fuck my girl anymore, so
yeah.
so we're cool.
Have you guys ever... Okay, come on, you guys are on the road a lot. Have you ever had the husband and wife team? You were great, man. You were great. Listen, you know, if you want to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I said,
yeah.
You could be my wife's free one.
Yeah, yeah. We've had
You've
that.
Had
yeah.
That.
Yeah.
And Brad more so, because not only is he a celebrity, he's also a commodity.
You know what?
So it's like
I can't even get mad at that.
It's a twofer.
Because it's real. They're, yeah. Bucket list people are real.
Yeah.
And,
oh, he said women, where he used to do a bit about it, and
yeah.
he would say, "I'm a bucket list item," and then had a woman at the show stand up and be like, "Woo," and he was like, "See, that's what I'm talking about." And then she stood up, and then I think...
Yeah, that happened later.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. yeah.
It did.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah, because and this is obviously
an old story.
Yeah, yep. an older story.
Years
but
ago.
But I was just like, yeah, I would do a joke about the bucket list, and this woman stood up and was like, "That's me." And I go, "Oh, that's great." She goes, "No, you don't understand. This is happening tonight."
That's awesome.
And
wow.
It's like, oh, okay. I don't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
But so yeah, that kind of stuff would happen. All that weird. Yeah, there. I mean, you go on the road long enough, you'll get every story and then
yeah.
some. And,
yeah.
and stories.
Pretty crazy.
Do you ever think about writing a book or something with all
nah,
these?
Nah,
you
don't
keep them up here, right? They're for you.
I mean, I would write it, but it would be, I don't know what it would
but
be.
But like
about.
You mentioned that like woman coming up with the you and Eddie Vedder story, but like do you have stories like that, like with other guys that you like? For us, like being friends with certain comics now, and like, man, I've smoked a joint with Dave Chappelle and he's my favorite comic.
Right.
And that to me was like the craziest night ever.
Yeah.
Like, do you get to a point to where you start becoming friends with the other big dogs and
you
haven't?
I don't have any famous friends.
Really?
I have famous acquaintances.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like I have famous acquaintances, but I'm not like.
But no trips or super hangs with them.
Yeah, no, I'm not calling. I'm not, you know, I'm not calling Chris Martin.
Yeah.
You know, hey, you want to go jet skiing?
Until now. Well, he's a big listener of the podcast. Yeah. So,
he's a big fan.
Yeah, so Chris, you know, Johnny wants to go jet skiing.
I
want to
hang. I want to hang.
He's always asking us for song titles. And I go, ask Celine Dion. She's a real comic, you know. he actually named Yellow after her Dijon mustard joke.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
that's why you're a pro, baby. That's why you're a pro.
Do you are you good for about like 10, 15 more minutes?
I can stay as long as you want. I'm here in Los Angeles. My wife is working.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
My wife, because my wife is very, she wants to work.
Nice.
So I'm like, I love you. Work.
Great.
Keep working.
Right.
Yeah.
It's good to have your own shit, man.
When this is, I love the fact she's got her own life, her own friends, her own deal. We moved back to New Jersey.
That's right. Congrats, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Closer to fam, right?
Her mom lives with us. Her sister's, you know, right over the bridge, and her brother's 10 minutes away. And
Awesome. Is the house big enough where mom can live with you and you may not see her?
Yeah.
Okay,
you know,
great.
I told her she could have the whole third floor. It's unbelievable. You know, she wants it. She doesn't want it because, you know, she's like, it's three flights of stairs. I don't want to
walk up. I feel like I only know L.A. real estate, really, but I feel like also, too, probably anywhere than here is more bang for your buck.
Oh,
yeah?
Dude.
Yeah.
We bought a 110-year-old house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's...
For $110.
Yeah.
It's a fixer-upper.
Well, it was really a fixer-upper. It was really
but
a
fixer-upper. But that's so cool, right? I feel like you're a guy that likes that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I didn't do any of it myself.
Yeah.
I just sort of directed. You know?
Yeah. So fun.
You know, it was fun.
That's...
But, you know, I mean, but there was a huge rainstorm, and I don't want to get into it, but I bought a 24-foot ladder, climbed up on the roof, just shoved. I had to shove my entire fist into the gutter, pull the leaves out, put the thing on the top. The water's rolling out. There's mud everywhere. I'm looking around. I'm terrified. I'm like, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to be on stage. You know?
Hey, that's. Then, I once tried to change a tire. Like my dad told me, he's like, all right, I'm going to watch you change a tire in the backyard because if this happens on the road, you got to be able to do it.
Yep.
So he watched me change a tire, and at the end of it, he goes, son, you just have to make a lot of money so you can pay someone else to change a tire.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm like, I mean, I went to school to be a plumber, and so I can do it.
Yeah.
But when the toilet was like just shooting shit out of it one morning, I was like, I ain't doing this.
I'm out.
I'm calling the guy.
I had songs on the radio.
Yeah,
damn it.
I
was on 14 different. Now that's what I call music. Like
right.
I've earned the right not to shovel shit.
I can afford Andy the plumber. I'm like, hey, Andy the plumber. He's really good.
Do you miss LA? Or when you come back, is it just like, oh, good to be here for a few days?
It's great to visit.
Yeah.
You know, but I you know, you grew up in Seattle,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
And where are you from?
Orange County, California.
Orange County, okay.
Yeah, so not too far.
So this is your indigenous to this area.
But, I am, yes.
But man, when it rains back home and everything turns green, it's
pretty rad.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it didn't rain here for 5 years. And as soon as I left, it started raining.
Yeah.
And I didn't sell my house yet.
You were
and I was praying,
you,
dear
you were the
God,
secret.
Please. I am the secret.
Yeah. So Resnick left.
Sucking
so then,
all the water
yeah,
out of the
so
air.
Now we have a drought. No, it's great. Okay.
But I like it there. I really do. I like the people. I didn't really know my neighbors or anything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I had friends. But it was really fun when we came here and I was single. You know, and when you meet a girl from here, it's great because then all her friends become your friends.
Yeah.
And then you break up and none of her friends are your friends.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like your social life expands and contracts.
Yeah.
Like it's schizophrenic, you know, but.
So are you working or just hanging while you're here?
I'm just hanging. I'm the babysitter
dope.
While I'm
here. Oh, dope.
I'm the babysitter. I came here to do. I'm lucky I got.
Is that why you came in with like a backpack
this?
And a mattress when you came to my apartment? You seem very like.
Listen, you guys, I haven't done this in a long time.
It's dude's week.
Just got
dude's night out
here. Right. Just can I watch you guys smoke bongs?
Man. Let me just smell it.
I just want to know.
That's a reality show in itself. Sober rock stars watching comedians get high.
Yeah. And I love being around people that drink.
Yeah.
Unless they're in my family.
Yeah. Right.
And then it's just like, you guys drink just like me.
Yeah.
Who's going to piss themselves first?
You know? Another great game show.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Before we wrap up, and we're going to chat a little bit more, but would you grace us with a tune? I got a new guitar all strung up, and would
really,
you, yeah. Would you feel
what
like?
What do you want me to play?
Well,
want me to play?
Yeah, yeah, dude.
If that's okay,
Norm, can you grab the guitar and
You know, because I play in all these fucked up tunings. Because
I know you got your tunings are insane.
Well, I spent all the.
It's strap, yeah. Do you need a strap?
$5 a week. I don't need a strap.
All right, Norm. There's picks up on the on the thing.
You got a cape on here.
Yeah, dude. Do you need a pick or?
No, I don't need a pick.
No.
No, what kind of?
He's a goddamn rock star.
I mean, look. Name is my favorite song of all time, and I'm probably gonna.
I can't do that one.
No, not that one.
Okay.
I would love "Use Me" just because it's from the EP. But,
yeah.
Or also, Dealer's Choice. Play whatever you.
It's really sort of contingent upon what I can play at the moment.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm not really good at doing things off the cuff. but let's see how this sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about "So Alive"?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Close enough. What is with this? What is with this top white? He has a piece of white plastic. Are you like that? Are you that guy with his guitar? You don't want to scratch it up?
No. We can take that off.
No.
That was on there when I got it.
No, this is a nice guitar.
Yeah.
Okay. I might bail halfway through.
Yeah, of course. Okay. Even just a couple verses.
I'm feeling like a hero, but I can't fly. No, you never crash if you don't try. Took it to the edge, now I know why. Never gonna live if you're too scared to die. Gonna disconnect from the hard wire. Time to raise a flag for the ceasefire. Staring down the hole inside me, looking in the mirror, making peace with the enemy. Hey, 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 yeah. I'm so alive, I'm so alive, I'm so alive. Yeah, you can make it on a wish if you want to. You can make it on a wish if you want to. All right, is that good?
Yes.
Oh, you kidding me? That's amazing.
God, dude.
I tried to sound like Sting in the middle of that song. It goes to the breakdown. It's like, I am no man of steel. I am no heart of stone. Don't tell me how it feels. I find it on my own. I always thought that was a very Stingy kind of line. You know?
I was going to say, by the way.
He's an asshole.
By the way,
shots fired, Sting.
Fucking
yeah, Sting.
Oh my god! I'm just looking at him, going, "Do you realize that Johnny Resnick just played guitar and sang in your apartment?
Big time, man.
Well, I'm a little self conscious about it. This is an awesome apartment.
Oh,
too,
thanks, dude. Come by anytime. We'll have dudes night.
Really cool.
Yeah, dudes night. Yeah. Watch us take bong hits.
I really do want to watch you guys take. And I'm like, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking at this bowl of jelly bears, gummy bears, and I'm like, you know that those are edibles, so do not. Like, I'm starving right now, and I ain't going near.
They're
those.
Real.
Yeah. See,
I'll be high for a month.
See, there.
I mean, I can't eat that. I did that once.
There's
and I got
five
on an
edibles.
Airplane.
There's five edibles in that bowl. So it's just like, you know what?
Yeah.
You might get one.
Take the chance.
Yeah.
Got to
make life more fun, man.
If there's 7,000. Who made that analogy?
Celine Dion.
Someone made that analogy about, well, if there's five poison M&Ms in that bowl, are you gonna still eat out of that bowl? Remember that was some political.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's something to do with
Who
the Muslim
that?
Ban.
Yeah. Oh,
one of
yeah,
those
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. But let's not talk about it.
Are you? They're great, by the way. And they've just been out a day, so
just got a day.
Yeah, in typical single guy fashion.
You can, dude, there was a time in my life where I would have ate those out of the cushion. Just suck the lint off it, spit it out, eat the gummy bear.
You know, I mean, you told, yeah, I mean, you told some of those stories last time you were on the podcast about you and Robbie in the van. I mean, and just of the growing pains of what every band artist has to go through at some point.
But now with a comfy house, like, you don't miss van life at all. I mean, that's
no, I ain't going back.
Yeah,
we had a guy that was playing drums with us for a long time, and you know, he grew up in like a sort of a wealthy family, and he always was like, let's go out in the van, and I'm like, fuck you, you know why you want to go out in a van, because you never had to. Lived in a mansion, man.
It's funny because that's like that, like, my fiance wants to go camping all the time. I'm like, I don't camp. Like, I worked really hard so I don't have to live without electricity.
Don't go camping.
I'm not doing it.
Camping sucks.
By the way, bugs are the size of me. Fuck that. Some roach could come in, just be like, "That was a good snack," and just grab me and walk out.
You don't want your story to be, what happened to Brad? Ladybug.
There's beautiful, like, cabins you can rent in the woods.
Yes, I'll do that.
That's
Airbnb
fun.
Cabin in the woods.
I'll do that all day.
Hell yeah,
all day every
Gotta
day.
Do that.
Do you ever go to? There's obviously a lot of great studios up in Seattle, and there's one nearby where my folks live. Actually, I can't remember the name of it offhand, but, like, you know, Pearl Jam's core there, and Dave Matthews Band did it out. Like, they have everyone.
It's out in
there.
The woods,
kind of. Yeah,
stay there.
Yeah,
yes. I work. A guy named Ryan Hadlock owns that. We worked with him. What's it called? Bear Creek. Bear Creek. It's out in the woods.
Yeah,
and they have a treehouse up there with a recording studio in it.
Wow,
it was unreal.
Holy shit!
Nicest guy in the world. Great studio.
So do you just sit there like, let's write songs like kids, and let's go into a treehouse and just stare at greenery?
Kind of was going on. It was you know, it wasn't cheap. But like,
sure.
What is it about?
Soundgarden recorded a bunch of stuff.
Oh man,
it's very classic studio.
When does a band get to a point to where that seems appealing to, like, do you need to do a couple albums and be like, all right, let's change our location for writing songs.
You know what I've found is that, like, because we always had a bunker mentality, because we were very, like, we never had any money to make records, so we would have to, we made our first record for $700, right? Oh, wow. So what we did was we crushed up a bunch of trucker speed and snorted it and drank beer and stayed up for 3 days making a record. And that was it. Boom, and 3 days. That's all you got.
Did that become the tradition? Like, on the next record, you're like, well, we gotta do this again?
No. Okay. But what we've found is that you really start to hate each other when you're together 16 hours a day, six days a week, 7 days a week.
And that would happen with your best friend in the world.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's just and plus you're trying to be creative and you're watching the clock and it costs
egos
money and all.
And
egos and all that bullshit. And so we split it up so everybody stays polite. Like, we'll do a session with one producer. We'll wind up using like 3-4 producers on a record.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we're still going to sound like us. Let's see what this guy brings, you know? And
get another set of eyes on the whole process.
And you take a lot of breaks. You walk away for 4 or 5 days. Get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Like, because you start to, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
You reach a point of diminished return.
And I think that's good advice for any of the bands out there, because I'm amazed that any band stays together.
But I'm also amazed. I'm amazed that any band stays together. I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
Oh, no, it's fine.
But I am... What I'm surprised about is the depth of the hatred that some of these guys got for each other.
Sure.
Like, you know, if they get back together because they need the money, they're riding on different buses.
Separate buses,
and they different walk on the stage from different places, don't talk to each other, get out of there.
Play the hits now.
What the hell happened?
Right.
You guys hate each other so bad, you can't sit down and talk it out.
Yeah. I mean, I just watched the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremony, and Steve Perry came back to Journey, but just to accept, and then they played with their new with their new singer. And I'm like,
Neil Sean pays him $1,000 a week.
Yeah, it's like just one song, Steve. Just come on and sing faithfully.
Come on, one time. It would have been great. It would have been great.
And I'm glad.
But you wonder why?
Yeah, why is that?
What could not be worked out?
Well, I'm glad that...
Lack of communication, too, right? People just getting, like... I mean, that's in any good fixer for the argument. People are just deciding to not engage.
I can't imagine being so egotistical.
Holding a grudge,
Because, like, I mean, you and Robbie have naturally... You've had disagreements.
You said you guys hate each other at times, right?
There's times I hated him the other night.
Yeah.
For about 5 minutes, and then I'm like, it's not such a good idea to hate a guy that you really...
And
you love the guy.
Yeah. And you guys are brothers.
Don't be an asshole.
It's easiest to hate the people you love the most, too. I mean,
it is. It's easiest to treat them like shit.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, I think that's to me, that's the best part the last 2.5 years, not to belabor the point of not being a drunk anymore.
No.
Because the whole thing could go tits up right now. Guy could be walking
thankfully,
home.
No yeah, way. Thankfully, then, that's water, not vodka.
Yes, it's water. And but you know, I mean, I'm just a nicer guy. I'm a better guy. I'm not a dick.
Did you ever have that moment where you went to Rob and you're like, hey, thanks for not stopping this?
Yeah.
Thanks for keeping it going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he needs the money. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Thank you, but you're welcome.
We both need the money.
Dude, well, we cannot thank you enough for coming back.
I am so grateful to be here. I love you guys. This is always fun.
Dude, just to make time and like, it's so crazy too, like how, I mean, like when I was just talking to Brad about you coming back and we were so pumped and Steve, your manager, has just been the greatest to like.
Yeah, Massey's the shit.
He's
man.
The fucking man. He came and saw me in the Irvine at the Improv.
He's the best, man.
And I was like, God, it's so crazy that just like meeting you guys so briefly at that at Sirius, remember? And like, and I was like, you know, I had no like podcast or anything in my head. It was just like, yo, I need to tell one of my favorite bands ever, like, when am I gonna see him again? Then I'm a fucking fan. And you guys were so cool, and it was like, to the fact that it's even gotten this far is like pretty dope, man.
That's
and
awesome, man.
A testament
thank
to
you.
How cool of a dude you are and great musician you are.
Thank you very much. I gotta speaking of Sirius, I gotta plug something.
Yeah.
Plug it.
I am doing a show on Sirius Radio, on Volume, the music talk radio
show. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, they gave me a show. Well, they gave me I think 8 of them, and they're gonna see how it works out because I'm like totally
oh dude you're gonna be
this.
Well dude no but come on man this is great
chorus and verse I don't know when it's gonna air, but
well, as soon as you get the details we'll plug it in all our shows
I got some guys lined up already, some pretty good guests.
Amazing.
I'm just gonna pick their brains about how they write songs.
It's gonna be awesome.
I'm really excited. But you know, so look for that.
Yeah,
and, well, dude, the band's going out on tour this summer.
And, that's right. And get the new EP.
And the EP is out. So
EP is, I mean, iTunes, I guess, is the main spot. But just
Spotify,
wherever.
Yeah. Just listen to the damn thing and show up.
And the GoogleDolls.com for all the tour dates. But and you guys start in July, I think,
July,
right?
Yeah.
Are you pumped to go back?
You know, please.
I'm coming to the Seattle one for sure, man.
Okay,
because the winery.
Let us know.
That's one of my favorite spots.
That winery is awesome.
Do you love it to play there?
I love playing there.
I love hearing
that. People go nuts in that place.
Yeah, dude.
You get so drunk.
And it's that time of year, too, when you're going, is like, I think it's early, mid September in Seattle. Dude, no better time.
Fantastic.
Are you pumped to go back on tour?
I'm happy to be working.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Well, go see the Goo Goo Dolls on tour. And if you go to Seattle or if you go to Los Angeles, you will see a screaming Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Williams just fangirling out and probably flashing our tits. And
I want to see your tits.
All right, well, let's shut these mics off and get busy, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guy.
That was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.